Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. My guest today is going to be Dale Cox, and he's put together an absolutely incredible book called Top Secret Flight. Now, we're having a challenge trying to reach Dale at the moment, so I'm going to be sharing some things with you until we are able to get him on the phone line. So as soon as we do, then we'll be chatting. In the interim, the phone lines are open for you, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share right off the bat a quote. I don't know who the author was. It's, "Millions saw the apple fall, but Newton was the one who asked why." Let me say that again. Millions saw the apple fall, but Newton was the one who asked why. So many of us, and boy, I can raise my hand relative to this, we have our habits and our patterns, and to take time to be mindful of what we're doing, how we're doing it, it's not something that we typically are trained to do. Many times when you're in school, a teacher might say, concentrate, focus, concentrate. When you watch athletes going through training, it's concentrate, focus, concentrate. When we get distracted, usually we'll mess up when we lose that focus, when we lose that concentration. And athletes, especially when it comes to competition, this is something that's drilled into them. And when it comes to multitasking, how many of you, just like me, will think, oh, I've got so much I've got to do. And I was doing this yesterday. I find myself doing this. After being involved with the Ren Faire over the weekend, I just had so much that I had to catch up on. And finally, one, I realized that I was tired. But two, I said, wait a minute. I'm going to focus on one thing at a time. And every once in a while, I find myself getting distracted and say, oh, I better take care of this. Oh, I better take care of that. And I pull myself back and say, no. I will finish this, I will get this particular thing done, then I will go to the other. And I found myself writing some things down, too. I think Steve Allen had a great habit. He had pads of paper everywhere where he'd make notes. If he was convenient, he'd say, okay, I'll jot this down. So I'd make a note of what else I should remember. As it turned out, I ended up being able to get just about everything accomplished yesterday that I wanted to get done. And it was being mindful about pulling myself back and paying attention to what I was doing at the time. So I can, like I said, I can raise my hand and plead guilty to the multitasking phenomena. But really, it is organization. Many times we look at someone and we think they're multitasking, but if they have organized their strategies, they really work out much better. Now, there is a 9-year-old girl. Her name is Shanti. She was beginning to have trouble with homework. And her grandmother decided she was going to set an example. She knew her granddaughter needed some help. But how can you help someone where you're encouraging their independence and their self-sufficiency without making them dependent? That can be quite a challenge. But the grandmother said to herself, you know, I'm not into this math thing, but my granddaughter needs some help. So she decided what she was going to do, and the lady's name was Mary, she was going to go back to school. Grandma was going to go back to school. She said, the reason I felt I needed to do this is so I could not just help my granddaughter, but also help myself. Now, this is one of the things that sometimes will happen to us. We're inspired because of the need of someone else to expand our own world, our own education. Well, Mary decided she needed to start investing in herself. She had actually been a dropout in school. Wasn't a high school dropout. She was a grade school dropout. She was 61 years old. She was going back to school. She had to do the schooling at night because she had a full-time day job. She worked at a seafood plant. It took her 4 years to get her high school diploma. But she did it. And do you know what? Because of Grandma doing what she did and Grandma sharing with her granddaughter what she was going through, Shanti became inspired. She and her grandmother became really good buddies, and Shanti became an honor roll student. Now, there was another member of family, a cousin, whose name was Alvin. And when he was talking to his relative, and here she's in her 60s, because he had considered dropping out of high school, that's not an unusual thing. It's almost like a virus that goes through a high school, especially when you get to your senior year. It's like, oh, do I really want to go through another year of school? There's so many other things I want to do. Yes. Well, he got inspired. He got inspired. He not only did he complete his high school degree, but he went on to go to college. And he said, by Mary doing what she was doing, and we would talk and communicate, he said, wow. I was seeing things in a whole different way. Now, what's interesting, Mary was inspiring Alvin, but Alvin became an inspiration to 61-year-old Mary. She joined him in his computer technology class at his college. That's right. Education is wonderful, and I'm fully supportive of it. You never, ever stop learning, at least you shouldn't, because there's so much that we don't know. And it's an adventure to explore that which you want to know. But sometimes we need someone that's a role model. And I think that Mary was a woman and is a woman today who is an inspiration not just to her family, but can you imagine how inspiring she was to the students around her? I had the good fortune a few years ago to attend a graduation ceremony, a high school graduation ceremony, where a 95-year-old great-great-grandmother got her high school degree. That's right. She was 95 years young. All of her family she had placed first. And finally, when she reached her 80s, she decided she wanted to get her high school degree. She was in her late 80s when she did it. She was so much like Mary. But she went back to school. You should have heard that graduation class cheer this woman when she walked up to get her high school diploma. I'm telling you, the whole audience stood up and honored her. The walls and ceiling were ringing with the cheers. This woman inspired a whole class. And that is the effect that we can have on other people. And I'm sure to this day, I never met the woman, but I remember how much it meant to me when I saw what this woman in her 90s did. You're never too old to learn, and you're never too old, too young, too middle-aged, you're never too anything to invest in yourself. And going to college, getting a high school diploma, it's more about learning the aspect of how to think. It is more about understanding rather than mutely relating facts, figures, etc. to pass tests. To discovering a process that you have within yourself for your own personal expansion. It allows you, if you get a good education, to see so many different paradigms. You're not locked into a box. And if life presents some adversities, you will be able to recognize that you can do what you want to do. You may have to change your patternings of expectation, or you may need to go to some new classes, or you may need to do something else. But Mary, at 61 years of age, took it upon herself to say, I've got to do something so I can help me, so I can help someone else. And that's important. And by doing that, two members of her family shifted their attitudes about education because she became an inspiration to them. And I like to think that maybe by my sharing this story with you today, that is going to be an inspiration for you too. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you're involved with, every moment of your life is an opportunity for you to expand into something new. So don't be afraid to pick up a book. Don't be afraid to watch something unique on television. If you have the good fortune to have cable where you can get all kinds of stations, tune in to a university program. There are stations, that's all they broadcast, or classes. You may look at it and not understand squat, but you've opened your mind to a willingness to approach something you have had no knowledge about before. Have you ever noticed that some people that get so involved in academics never get out of their little box of thinking? And sometimes the guy that fixed the plumbing has the wisdom of the sages. That's the way life is. It all depends on how you look at life. And what I tell people many times is there's no such thing as a menial job. There's no such thing as a menial position in life. It is your perception about where you are, what you're doing, that creates the perspective of what you've got. And I address a little bit of that in my newsletter that went out on the 1st. And by the way, if you want to see the newsletter, if you've never gotten the newsletter and you don't choose to subscribe, you can always read it for free right on my website. There's all kinds of good information in it as well. So go to DelphiInternational.com and you'll find all of that wonderful information. You can go into old archives, too, and check out different pieces of material that I've written. That is open and available to you. But I can tell you, with all of the material that I review, there isn't a day that goes by that I do not have an awareness of something new. Sometimes it's a spin on something I've known in the past. So I share that with you, and I hope that you will take that as a part of your gift for today. Be inspired. Realize that you can have a chance to make a shift in life on your own, maybe just by simply going to your public library, picking out a topic, a book, that you always wanted to explore the subject matter. Pick something and take the time. This is summertime. This is a wonderful time. Get out in the sunshine. Sit out in the beautiful weather. Or if it's too hot, get an air conditioning. But sit in a place that allows you to be quiet. No television, no noise. Just sit quietly and read. Open up your world. Open up your mind. You will be so glad you did. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Dale Cox. We have been trying to reach him. And as soon as we are able to do so, we will be bringing him on to the show. I wanted to share a story with you. And by the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the number to contact me through. There's all kinds of unique experiences that happen in life. And I think it's fascinating when you step out of the box of thinking and your own little world of observation and start reading about things that, you know, you just would say, wow, I wonder how that happened. I wonder what occurred with this. Well, there's a story about villages vanishing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've all heard about the settlement in Virginia and the blue-eyed Indians, but that's not what I'm going to be talking about here. In 1590, August the 18th, there was a Governor John White and his company. They came to North America from England for the settlement on Roanoke Island. Mm-hmm. And they searched in vain, I just mentioned that to you, for the colony of over 100 people. Now, Governor White had a specific reason for doing this, too, because 3 years earlier, he had left behind his wife, his daughter, and his son-in-law, and his newly born granddaughter. Now, if you think back to the 1500s, people didn't have cell phones. It was years before they could go from point A to point B. So 3 years was a long time in our minds to be gone, but in their time, that is what they could manage. Virginia Dare was the name of the granddaughter, and they had gone back to England so that they could get supplies for the settlers. Now, the agreement had been made before they left to go to England to get their supplies that while he was gone, they were to have to leave a sign of where they were going and put a cross beside the sign if there had been any danger involved. Well, what came up was war. That delayed White's return. And, of course, when he got to the island, we know the story, all he found was an abandoned fortress. Now, he discovered heavy implements that were hidden by a lot of overgrown grass and couldn't find the boat that had been left with the settlers. There was a large tree beside the fortress entrance that had been stripped of bark, and capital letters, Croton, were carved into it. And a second tree near the water had the letters CRO carved into it. So he heard of an island, and it was called Croton Island. It was 50 miles south, but when he started to go that way, it went bad. His company's privateer broke anchor, drifted out to sea, and forced them to go back to England. It wasn't an easy world to live in. None of the 117 Roanoke Island colonists were ever seen or heard of again. Now, in 1930, there was a French-Canadian trapper, and trappers roam. They roam all over the place. They set up their lines, and they know exactly where they're set up, and it takes time to go from one spot to another. Joe LaBelle was visiting a particular group of people at Lake Agaicuni, which is 500 miles northwest of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Base at Churchill, Manitoba. Now, he was very uncomfortable. He found a little village that was made of caribou skin tents. There weren't any dogs. Food, clothing, kayaks, and rifles were laying around, just as if they had been abandoned. And when he checked the area around the camp, he found 7 dogs dead from starvation and a Karen grave, which had been emptied. And for reasons unknown, the 25 inhabitants that had been in that camp had abandoned their homes. Where'd they go? What happened to them? Nobody has ever been able to figure that one out, or the story about Roanoke Island. However, with Roanoke, what they feel today is that the group to survive joined Tribe of Indians. And again, I remember reading about this when I was in the 6th grade, because there were a lot of blue-eyed Indians that had fair complexions and resembled the people that had come over from England. But maybe we'll never know the rest of the story on that one. But this is the second village, too, that I was sharing with you. Why did they vanish? So many questions many times. There were questions about the Mayans. Why did they abandon particular cities? Well, many times it is a factor of starvation. Bad weather, various circumstances and conditions that change things. You just never know. And life goes on. When I think about the man who discovered the city of Troy because he had a dream, he pursued it, eventually finds it, he digs down deeply, deeply into the earth. And amazingly, he finds that there have been a number of cultures that preceded the city of Troy. They found at least 9 additional cultures that had existed before that city. So life is a very interesting paradigm. And sometimes you have to have curiosity about what is going on. Quickly, I want to mention to you that this weekend and the following weekend, it's the second and third weekend of the Washington Renaissance Fair. Here, it's the Midsummer Fair that's here in Bonnie Lake, Washington. And I need to let those of you that live in Washington know all my passes are gone now. So I don't have any family passes left, but I will tell you it is going to be a marvelous, marvelous event. And we're not going to have 100 plus degree temperatures. It's going to be cooler. It's going to be absolutely perfect weather to come out. It's going to be in the lower 70s and we'll have a breeze. It's just going to be absolutely marvelous. And if you want an activity for the weekend, don't miss this event. And look for my pavilion, because I have bright yellow banners with gigantic red lions, and I am going to be there doing many consultations, and we've just got all kinds of good things that are going on there, and I invite you to join me, because it is fabulous. I have more fun watching the kids and their big eyes, and this weekend they're going to have as a theme the fairy theme, so you're going to see some phenomenal costumes and all kinds of wonderful activities. And, oh, by the way, we have a pirate ship that was handcrafted, that is absolutely magnificent, that is on site as well. And the people that built it are there. You'll be able to ask all kinds of questions. It truly is a very fine work of art. So do come on out and say hello, because we'd love to have you join us. The lottery. The lottery is something that all of us have an interest in on one level or another. If nothing else, we enjoy hearing about the winners when they are announced. But you know, lotteries have been around forever. As long as there have been numbers, people have always been involved in them. And I found its information so fascinating, because I had always thought that lotteries were, well, sort of a modern-day thing, at least to the level we've got. Well, that's not the case. It can be traced all the way back to China. There was a warlord named Qing Ling who came up with a numbers game, today known as Keno. That's right. You see it in Vegas. You see it in any of the big gambling facilities. Keno is a very hot game, because he needed to be able to pay for his army. So what did they do? They had a lottery. They got money to go to war, and that's what they did. Now, Augustus Caesar authorized lotteries to raise money for public work projects in Rome. The Chinese used a lottery to help finance the Great Wall. And in 1466, there was a Belgian town where a lottery was created to help the poor. And it's a fundraising pattern that they still do today. It's amazing. It brings in millions of dollars, and it's all voluntary. Nobody's forced to do this. And early American history, there were a number of our country's founders that encouraged the use of lotteries because they needed money. John Hancock organized a lot of them, and one was to build a building in Boston. Ben Franklin used the lotteries during the Revolutionary War to purchase a cannon for the city of Philadelphia. George Washington, yep, he even ran a lottery. That paid for the construction of a road into the wild and unbelievably harsh environment of Western Virginia. And Thomas Jefferson said this about lotteries: far from being immoral, they are indispensable to the existence of man. And when Jefferson wrote that, he was trying to convince the Virginia legislature to let him hold a lottery to pay off his debts. And do you know, lotteries got a bad reputation. That's right. By the end of the Civil War, they had been banned in most states. They were not allowed because of the corruption. But in Louisiana, their legislature, which apparently was known for being open to just about anything, if you could cross the palms with silver or whatever was available, in 1869 gave an exclusive charter to a private firm called the Louisiana Lottery Company, which sold tickets throughout the country. Now, this is back in 1869, and for 25 years, it raked in millions of dollars while paying out relatively small prizes and contributing what people said was chump change to a few New Orleans charities. Now, in 1890, there was such a furor over this. Congress passed a law banning the sale of lottery tickets through the mail, and eventually all multi-state lottery sales were banned. Well, what is this company to do that had been raking in millions and millions and millions of dollars? They moved offshore. The Louisiana Lottery moved its operations to Honduras, and America was lottery-free until 1963, when New Hampshire started the lottery cycle anew. I remember here in the state of Washington in the 80s, there was a lot of furor about the lottery, and the lottery is fat and sassy now. I mean, it's just going big guns here, as well as through many different parts of the country. People love their lotteries. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. This is Donna Siebel, my guest. We have not been able to reach him. We will be rescheduling him, unless by the luck of whatever, Irish or Italian, whatever we've got, we're able to get a hold of him. Something's happened. He has been on the road traveling. But Dale Cox, with his book, The Top Secret Flight, we have not been able to reach him. And again, if we are able to do so, we'll bring him on the air. Meanwhile, we're going to be taking a break for a moment. This is Donna Siebel. Telephone lines are open if you'd like to call and chat with me, 888-627-6008. When we come back, a few tips for your garden, some more stories to share, and who knows, I might even throw in a recipe for you. Donna Siebel here. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. I invite you to give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I love to know where you're calling in from. And then let me give you the information I perceive about you, and after that, you can ask me about anything that you like. So 888-627-6008. I've got a recipe here. Oh, I don't know. If you've got a sweet tooth, I have a sweet tooth. This is a recipe for sour cream and toasted pecan waffles with maple pecan syrup. Are you salivating yet? Well, I think this is something that is one of those recipes that's going to be so much enjoyed by the people that you share breakfast with, or even a dinner. This is great. Waffles are wonderful. So I will be sharing that with you in a bit, so have your pad of paper and pen handy. I wanted to also let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Sean Mishore, the Bliss Experiment. Do you think you're going to experience bliss? What is bliss? We all have our own perception. We'll find out Sean's tomorrow. And then we're going to be talking with Carol Amber, The Gift of the Ladybug. And then on Friday, this book is from the future, Marie Jones. Ah, yes. Wonderful people, wonderful subject matter. If you want to know about the people that are upcoming on the show, then do give a look at the listing that we have on BBS about the guests. There's a little bit of a bio there under the Donna Sivo Show. And then also you can check my newsletter, which is on my website, DelphiInternational.com. I really enjoy people's attitudes about so many, many things. And one of them, well, sometimes kids have a wonderful way of expressing themselves. And there was a little girl, she walked into her school library and she asked the librarian, which happened to be Alfred's daughter, for a particular book. And the daughter, the librarian, was a little bit concerned. Are you sure you want this book? It's a pretty scary book. And this little girl, with her infinite wisdom, said, I'm not afraid of anything. I've seen my grandmother naked. I couldn't resist it. I read that and I just cracked up. I guess it gets pretty horrific when you get older, according to the visions of what the young people think. Also, wanted to share with you a couple of items. So many of us are watching our budgets because the money is having to be watched very carefully. Many Americans today are opting to get out of debt. So the families are working together. Individuals are making choices saying, well, I want to be more frugal with my money. Now, sometimes we get concerned. What should we spend money on when it comes to food? Is there one aspect of grocery shopping that we should spend a little bit more money on? Is there another aspect that we should be really cheap with? Go with the cheaper brands. Well, I came across some information and I thought, this is really good stuff. And I thought I would share it with you today. When you're going to pay extra, when you want quality, you are going to look at certain things that are going to, with the way prices are going up on everything, you're going to say, gee, do I really want to spend the money on this? And here are some suggestions that I found extremely, extremely interesting. It came from a number of different sources. If you're going to splurge on honey, coffee, pasta, extra virgin olive oil, vanilla extract, and chocolate. Boy, and I testify to the last two. Actually, with most of these, I would agree. I'm not a person that consumes a lot of honey, but if you're going to have honey, you want to have the best quality. And I was gifted honey a year ago by a client of mine. They had their own hives, and I tasted that honey, and it was phenomenally delicious, absolutely delicious. Many times when you get the pasteurized and the inexpensive version, the cheap honey, you have to check the label because, believe it or not, there what you might think is pure honey might be actually mixed with corn syrup. That had never even crossed my mind. Never even crossed my mind. But there are those that are laced with corn syrup, so check the labels. Also, the coffee you get, and I'm not a coffee drinker, but my husband is, and there is a big difference with coffee. So if you want to enjoy coffee instead of spending a whole bunch of money at a particular store where you're paying $5 a cup, why not make good coffee, pay extra for that pound of coffee to make sure that you get the quality you want, and then you have that wonderful, wonderful, delicious, not just aroma, I love the smell of coffee, but you'll also have the taste that you enjoy. So pay good money for those things. Pasta. And this I hadn't paid much attention to. Generic and bargain basement pastas often end up mushy. And the chef that I had on the show last week, who is a top-notch chef in New York, he brought this out. He said certain pastas, and he was talking about the cheaper grades, they will become very mushy, whereas other pastas, like a Barilla or De Checco or De Secco pasta, they're used in top restaurants because of the consistency of the pasta. It's the wheat, the quality of the wheat, the processing, all of this. It makes a difference. And we have to pay attention when we buy olive oil. The reason being is that many times the oils are mixed with cheap filler oils. So if you go to a place that allows you to maybe taste test different olive oils, you can find the difference. But also, look at the can. Find out what's in it, and you can do that. Vanilla extract, the artificial, always get the real. It's a difference, like night and day. And also, chocolate. If you pay a dollar extra, let's say for a bar of real chocolate, real good chocolate, the taste is phenomenally awesome. So it's better to have one square of the real good stuff than a whole candy bar made with cheap chocolate that is mixed with all kinds of chemicals and stuff. So those are just the tips. However, you can save money, and I've done this. I've done this frequently. Frozen produce, many times your frozen produce is flash frozen right on site when they pick it. They flash freeze it because they have the mechanization where they can do that. It's higher in ingredients and better tasting. Fresh is good if it's local fresh. If it's fresh brought in from Nicaragua or from Africa, you're not going to have the nutrients because they have to ship everything green. So if you have local produce that you can get, obviously that's the best. But otherwise, if you don't have access to that, you're really busy, frozen is the best. Hamburgers. If you want to skimp, if you want to save, buy your meat in bulk. And I've done that for years. And those packages where they're preformed, you're going to be paying a lot of extra money for something that just takes a few seconds for you to do. To make reduced calorie versions of products, juices, and light coconut milk, all you have to do is add water. Maybe you want to add a little sweetener to it if that's what you like. But you can buy the regular version and you can water it down. You know, there are these containers that you'll pay $2, $3 for with water and they say it's this and that is in it and you've got all these nutrients. It's not there. You can do this. You can take a little bit of water, add some natural juice to it, and you've got a flavored water if that's the way it is. And cheese. If you're melting or mixing cheese with other ingredients, cheap stuff is just as good as the expensive. You can save $20 per pound Arsenal triple cream cheeses for a very special occasion. It's amazing. People rarely can tell the difference. The only thing I found is if you use a sharper cheese, and there's a great one at Costco, you use the extra, extra sharp, that's going to have more flavor to it. But you're looking at a higher price per pound. So check out when you can buy cheese by the block, and I've even frozen it. It works great. You can substitute for everyday oil, regular olive oil, and regular vegetable oil. High heat will destroy the taste of the olive oil. The extra virgin, save for your salads, for those things that you're going to use it on, fresh greens that you're going to be eating. And wines, shop around. Specialty baking mixes. You know, Consumer Report did a taste test. They must have had a blast in that lab. They said Duncan Hines brownies are just as show-stopping as ones made from the priciest gourmet mixes. I have to say something, though. I love Ghirardelli's mixes. They're great. And bottled water. Do you know 49% of bottled water in the United States comes straight from purified municipal tap water? Just some tips regarding food. Okay, I promised you this recipe on sour cream and toasted pecan waffles with maple pecan syrup. This is the real stuff. This is delicious. I guarantee you, kids are going to enjoy it. And if you wanted to fix something special for a dinner, this is awesome. Okay, this is what you're going to need. 2 cups of flour, a half a cup of chopped toasted pecans. You can toast those in the oven yourself. 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 tablespoons of sugar, a quarter of a teaspoon of salt, and a quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda, 1 cup of milk, make that whole milk, and 1 cup of regular or extra rich sour cream. Makes these so light and, oh, they're just wonderful. Sour cream is amazing. 2 eggs, 3 tablespoons of melted butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and then I'm also going to give you the recipe for the maple pecan syrup. But let's get the waffle mixture together. You're going to want to whip together your flour, your pecans, the baking powder, sugar, salt, and baking soda in a medium-sized mixing bowl. You blend all of that together. In another large mixing bowl, you're going to whisk together your milk, sour cream, and your eggs, your melted butter, and vanilla. All of that's going to be blended. And then gradually, you whisk in your dry ingredients until they're well mixed. And, of course, your waffle iron, you want to have that preheating. And you use 1 cup of batter, spreading it evenly over an 8-inch square waffle iron, and they're going to turn out golden brown. And you repeat this, it makes 12 4-inch square waffles. 12 4-inch square waffles. Now, your syrup. This is so easy, and it's so good. 1/2 cup of butter, you melt it in a small saucepan. You stir in 1 cup of maple syrup. Use the real stuff. No artificially sweetened. Use the real stuff. Cook it over medium heat until the syrup is warm, and then you stir in 1/2 cup of your coarsely chopped toasted pecans, and you serve it warm over hot waffles. Oh, boy, is that good. It is delicious. Now, if you want to thin your batter, if you feel your batter's too thick, just add a little bit of milk. But don't add more than 1/2 cup of milk, because then it's going to be too watery, too thin. This is delicious. You will absolutely love it, and everybody will praise the experience that you give them. Donna Siebel here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't forget the Ren Fair. Those of you in Washington, I hope to see you there this weekend. It's going to be awesome. The weather's going to be so much cooler. We were really cooking this past weekend. Over 100 degrees at the site on both Saturday and Sunday, but that's not the way it's going to be this next weekend, so hope to see you there. This is Donna. We're going to be taking a break. Give me a call if you want, 888-627-6008. More good things to share. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I wanted to share with you today a story about a couple. This is a couple that really went through some very, very difficult times. And I think it's important to hear stories about what other people are going through, because sometimes if we're in the doldrums, if we listen to the news and we just think, oh, my goodness, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, I mean, well, you just get inundated with so much negative stuff that I think when you can read or you can hear the stories about people who have dealt with adversity, and people are dealing with adversity every day, and how they choose to turn turn the adversity around. It really does make a business. It makes a difference. Now, this has to do with a business. This is a couple that they're in Colorado, and they have a company that they've had for years. Years. The economy hit bottom. It was really bad for them. They had had 100 employees. They were a specialty company. And the day came because business wasn't coming in. They had to tell 60 people. They had to lay them off. Now, if you've ever been in a situation, you've had to do something like that. And that happened to me once. Now, I didn't have to do it with 60 people. But I can remember how it tore me up inside. But I had no option. I had to let someone go that had worked with me, that was loyal, was honest, wonderful person, and this person was going through some very difficult times. So when I read their story, I thought, boy, can I relate. It's very, very hard. It's not easy when you have people that have helped you to be successful and you have to let them go because the money isn't there. The orders aren't coming in. Maybe an illness has hit a family, members of a business. I heard of this just locally with a business that's in my own neighborhood. They're having to close down a business that is very, very successful because both of the owners have cancer. So let me get back to this couple. Annie and Mark, very responsible people, acquired their American dream, and they had to go in to their local community and deal with things every day. They weren't running away from their responsibilities. And, of course, they were church-going people, and they would go into church every Sunday. And a lot of people who were at the church have been employed. That's really hard. They just didn't know what to do. Well, Mark, the husband, had an attitude of people will understand. Well, Annie was really having a tough time with that. She just would just as soon not have gone to church because you don't want to look at people knowing that you are somehow surviving and yet you had to let all of them go so that you could go into that survival patterning. And Annie just went into a real, real deep depression. This was very, very difficult for her. And she, after, dealing with meeting people at the church, and it would just run through her mind, what are all these people going to do? These people had depended on us. We had provided them with a means for income, and now we can't do that anymore. So this was eating at her big time. Well, she happened to turn on her shredder, and she just was sort of watching the shredder shred stuff that she was putting through. And she said, you know what? This is stinking. I don't like this situation at all. Well, they had to eventually close down their company. They left Colorado. They ended up moving to California, a community in Southern California. And it had been a very painful process for them. Very painful. They wanted to start a new business. They wanted to help their local economy, which had always been at the base of their being in business originally. And they just couldn't figure out what to do. Well, ideas started coming into their mind. And intuition often works this way, the intuitive self. Mark was passionate about woodworking. Annie had been a product developer for most of her adult life, very successful. So they kept getting this feeling that they should do something in making wooden picture frames adorned with quotes, special words, meaning very important things. They wanted to make it like a greeting card, but they wanted to make it more permanent. So between the two of them, Mark and Annie worked out a prototype. They made 15 samples. She hand-painted each one of them. And they went to a retail gift show in Chicago. They came home with hundreds of orders. And when they got all of these orders they had to go find people that could help them fulfill these orders. So she said it was the most exciting thing that she had been through since they had lost their business in Colorado. She said, we were hiring young people. There were people, men who had been laid off from work in mines, women wanting to put food on the table for their families, buy clothes for their kids. And all of these people said, we're willing to learn. Let's be a part of it. Do you know what? This was an experience. They didn't even have a storefront. They didn't have a storefront at all. Well, before they knew it, in this community they were in California, they ended up having 100 employees, same amount like they had in Colorado. They were the biggest private employer. The interaction, just as it had been in Colorado, with their employees, they just really enjoyed each other. 2008 comes along, wonderfully successful. Their sales dipped. It had been bad after 9/11, but they had recuperated from that. But in 2008, when the economy tanked, their business tanked big time. Well, little by little, they had to start laying off. It was very depressing going into the office. They were going through something all over again that they experienced years before. It was heartbreaking. Eventually, they had to close their store. One of their top employees, his name was Jamie, said, we're sorry, we're going to have to let you go. We have to close the doors. We can't keep the store open. This is their store manager that had started off with him as a young person. And 10 years, it just matured into this wonderful manager. Well, they were all just falling apart. But you know what? It was very difficult for them. They didn't know what they were going to do. But they said, we've got to get through this somehow. Well, one day, Jamie called them. The shop had been closed for 6 months. And Jamie said, I want to know how you guys are doing. You need to know that those of us that worked for you care. Out of the blue, they got a call from a major gift company that had found out about their frames. Do you know what they said to them? Now they had closed their store. They said, we want to buy your company. Out of the blue, we want to buy your company. 2 months later, they sold the business. Guess what they did? Mm-hmm. They opened up a brand new business, a sister company. It's called Rendy, and they specialize in sales through home parties. Do you know what? All of the people that were a part of their business in this community in Southern California joined forces with them. And Annie said what she's learned from these experiences is she's focused for so long on what she had lost that she carried a heavy burden of responsibility and guilt. Yet she said, you know what? I wasn't alone. I was no more alone than I had been in building our business. She said, I had a wonderful husband. We had fabulous friends. We had lived in a phenomenal community. And she said, I found out that faith had a lot to do with making sure that you get through the things that are really tough. It's a great story about good people, and that's going on every day. You need to know that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You, through your attitudes and through your actions, can create miracles. I believe in you. I want you to believe in yourself. Donna Sebo here. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about bliss. Want to know more about it? I sure do. We'll find out then. Look forward to having you join me. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are in this wonderful world of ours. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272.
Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.